Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome.
Welcome, 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 everyone. If this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast that deep dives all of the episodes. Today, we are going to be talking about season 16, episode 4, 5, and 6. So if you've not watched Grey's Anatomy up till the current season, we recommend you quickly do that. It only takes a minute or so. And then come back and listen to the podcast with us because we are a spoilers podcast and we don't want to ruin any of the storylines for you.
Yes. And if you want to support us, you can do so by going to Patreon, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. It's also in our show notes. It's also in our Instagram bio, which is at the on-call room pod. You could probably also just Google it. So anyway, that's Patreon. That's how we, you know, are able to put out this podcast is because we have these wonderful patrons who donate to us and our project. But by donating, you get benefits and rewards for doing so. There are three levels, intern, resident, and attending, and you get different things. We talk about them every week. Facebook group for $2. We do bonus episodes. We're going to be doing Zoom, I think, well, probably...
It'll just happen.
I think it will just happen when you hear this, the Zoom hangout. But you have an opportunity for next year, 2023, to hang out with us.
Holy fucking shit.
I know. I just had to throw that in there. And then also we do a thing called post-op where when we call time of death, if you are a $10 patron and you are listening in the Patreon app or have put it into your RSS feed, you will get like extra bonus content. And tonight, this morning, actually, it's 9:30 in the morning, we're going to be talking about Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
And our thoughts on him as Chief of Chiefs. So, yeah.
So, and his faults and his, and you know, the things I love about him. So yeah. Stay tuned for that after time of death. And also just a quick little thing as a Christmas gift to us, if you can leave us a review, 5 scalpels on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, that would mean the world to us. Share the podcast with a friend. We just really appreciate your support and we love reading those messages. Also, I just want to, I was laughing because although you couldn't hear me or see me because we are not together, because when we started the podcast, I almost said, hello and welcome to the podcast. Like instead of just said the on, I like forgot what we usually say.
Well, I think it's because we're not sitting across from each other.
I know. Tell me about your setting. Give me a clear picture. Like what are you doing right now? Where are you at?
I'm where we usually record. I'm at the dining room table and I have a Christmas mug filled with coffee. And then I would prefer Bailey's to be in it, but I have shit to do today. And
I have Bailey's. I should put some in. I don't have shit to do. I mean, I can do computer work, but I can do that buzzed.
Yeah, get a little boozy. I'm looking at my wreath centerpiece that I made in the daylight. Ugh. So it's a different vibe, you know? It's a little gloomy outside. There is a weird truck outside, a city truck. Okay. I don't know what it's doing.
Are the firefighters coming in again?
Probably. One can only hope. You know what I should do? Ooh, I don't know if you have this. Do you have smart plugs in your house?
No, but I would like a smart house.
So we have a bunch of smart plugs and we got even more with Christmas. And I was just looking into the living room and I'm like, oh, the Christmas tree isn't on. But on my phone.
Oh, it looks so bad when the lights aren't on.
Oh, yeah. But on my phone, I just clicked it on because we have smart plugs. So I didn't even have to get up. But now the Christmas tree is on. So.
Wow. I don't have that. I have just like a thing, a button what you hit with your foot to turn them on, you know, by the tree. I pretty much leave my tree on for a month. I'm pretty sure, I don't know, will it burn down? Will my electricity bill be insane? I don't know.
Probably.
It really scares me if you come out in the kitchen in the morning and it's not lit. You're like, what the fuck is that dark shadow?
Yeah, it does not look good.
Trees literally look scary. So I still don't have ornaments on my tree also.
So wait, you leave it on all night long?
You know, I think McCoy likes to enjoy it.
Sure. That's fine. I mean, that's a bold move.
No, sometimes we remember to turn it off.
But sometimes you don't.
But sometimes I don't. I told Jake to water it while I was gone this weekend, and I'm sure he did, but I haven't again yet. And I don't know why watering the tree is like such an annoying chore.
It is so awful. That
why,
like,
is it so bad?
I think it's because you have to get on your hands and knees and like crick your neck and like, it's just
like feel if you can see, you can't see what you're doing.
Yeah, it's just super annoying. And like last night, John came home from work and was like, hey, or maybe it was, I don't know when it was. It was late at night. Oh, he was at a friend's. He was playing RPG and he came home and he was like, hey, when's the last time we watered the tree? Okay,
I have
watered the tree multiple times. Like, I don't know when you have. So I was like, I think it's on like an every other day schedule at this point. Yeah, like, it's not sucking up as much water. So I was like, well, I think I checked it like 2 days ago. So it's probably time to check it. And so he goes, he feels that he's like, yeah, probably needs water tomorrow. And I was like, great. So you're telling me I have to walk because I'm going to be home today. You know, he's like, no, I can do it tomorrow. But he gets home at like 9 at night from work. And so today, so it's like, I'm going to have to do it again. I'm going to have to do it again.
I know.
It's painful.
I feel you. I'm hoping, well, Jake will help me. Also, I hope everyone enjoyed Jake being on the podcast. He had so much fun. And I hope that you liked our story. I will tell you, I've been sleeping on the mattress now for, you know, over a week and it's still great. So
great.
Well, there, I don't have bed bugs that I know of.
And you don't, what about your back pain? How's that going?
I think now my pillow is what is next to complete.
Sure.
I am a side sleeper and like I put my arm under, like I need a stiffer pillow, I think, that I can wedge between my neck and my shoulder. And I don't have that right now. I have Costco pillows that actually are wildly huge. I got two because we always have two pillows each, you know?
Yeah.
But when you stack them on top, they were like 4 feet tall. Like, they were so, like, I was like, I need someone to like lay their head on them and smush them a little bit. But
I was going to get those ones. Do you recommend or no?
Yeah, I feel like looks wise, they look wild with two because it's like they're just really fluffy. But Jake's are already getting flat because I don't know what he does to pillows in the night, but he literally flattens them all. And mine, like using one to sleep on is perfect.
Are they super soft? Because John doesn't like a soft pillow.
No, I don't. I mean, your head does smush in a little, but they're just very full.
Okay. I don't know. They were a good price, you know?
Well, that's why I got them. I was like, ours are disgusting. And I know you can put pillows in the wash machine, but it feels like a lot of work. And I'm concerned about my wash machine.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that. I feel the same way. I feel like I'm going to break my washing machine if I put them in.
Yeah. And mom, if you're listening, I know it's gross. My mom washes her pillows all the time.
I should do that more too. I don't.
You know, the trick is to don't look at them.
Yeah. Now I feel grossed out. Now I feel like I need to go wash all my pillows.
You know, you'll feel less gross though if you look at yours and John's, because I guarantee you John's is way worse than yours. So like,
I don't know. I think mine is. And you want to know why? So, okay. I think we figured it out because my side, we have like a white duvet cover. Uh-huh, and this is like, it gets like really discolored near the top.
Oh yeah, on the edge. Yeah.
And it's really gross. And like, I'll wash it, you know, pretty often and I'll put like OxyClean and I'll bleach it. And, but like, it's gotten to the point where like, we might probably need a new one. And my side is way grosser than John's. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm not going to bed like dirty, but I think it's my face routine. I think it's all my serums that I put on my face are like transferring over because John doesn't do anything. And I have like, you know, retinols and like things that probably discolor all of that. So I think my pillows are grosser too.
Oh, well, I won't judge you.
Thanks. I mean, it's not like dirt. It's just like serums. It's serums. Yeah. So anyway.
I get it. pardon me. Well, anything else we need to tell people?
Just that our pillows are dirty and
why are we talking about this? I also will just say that there is nothing better than a new giant hoodie. I ordered one. That's like the one thing I ordered on Black Friday. It's like from Abercrombie & Fitch, but it's like an oversized hoodie. And it is, I don't know if I'll ever take it off now that like it's time to not go outside and see people season. It's so cozy. And I just like, I'm dreading after this, I have to go to the post office, which
we'll
I'm also dreading. Well, I am, but I'm just like, I don't even want to leave my house. Like, it's just, I feel like I'm in a cocoon. So everyone should, ask for a really nice hoodie for Christmas. Cause I think we forget, we like live in old ones. And then when you get a new one that like feels really nice, you're like, whoa.
Okay. I'm going to say something.
I like old ones that feel like sandpaper more than this, but there's something about the feeling of like it being new.
No, that's not what I was going to say. I don't like hoodies. I like crew necks. Like I like a sweatshirt, but I don't know. It like hoodies like get in my way. Like, in I don't know. Way. Yeah. But.
Well, I think I should preface that when I'm wearing this, I am wearing the hood.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see the vibe.
I agree. I don't like, it gets caught in coats. Your hair gets like stuck in it. It's just whatever. But when you wear the hood, that's right. What they're meant for. I've decided.
You've just, in your home. Okay, cool.
Yes. I've decided that. Anyways. Okay. Lame things. These late episodes were also, we are in the getting through it portion of Grey's Anatomy.
I feel like we've said that many times, but I really do believe that like, season 16 is not great. It's not great.
It's hard to find the silver lining.
Yeah. And we might have felt that way when it came out as well. So
yes,
maybe nothing has changed. But we are in season 16, episode 4, 5, and 6. It's Raining Men, Breathe Again, and Whistling Past the Graveyard. You want to read the first one?
Sure. All right. This is from Meredith Gray. If you're in an OR and it feels like the sky is falling, that's because sometimes, unfortunately, it is. I was once doing a laparoscopic appendectomy, perfectly routine, when out of nowhere, my patient developed an air embolus. Carbon dioxide that was filling his abdomen leached into his circulation. His blood pressure plummeted as the air bubble went to his heart, causing utter chaos. I started CPR, trying to keep blood flowing to his brain. We placed a central line as quickly as we could, but before we knew it, his lungs were filling with fluid. A routine lap appy was now a case of multi-organ failure, and there wasn't a damn thing I could do to stop it. After multiple transfusions and emergent dialysis and the fastest central line I've done to this day, my patient pulled through, but it taught an important lesson. There's no such thing as a routine surgery. Every time I step into an OR, I'm ready for the worst. It's not a guarantee against bad outcomes, but it does mean when the curveballs come, when the sky starts to fall, hopefully you're less likely to get completely knocked off your feet. Meredith Gray.
Nice job.
It's so much easier to read when I know you're not staring at me.
staring you down. Oh, man. Okay. So some of the world's top trauma specialists have proven that our brains may forget the traumas we survive, but our bodies, especially our nervous system, always keep the score. Body keeps the score. Memories are stored in our shoulders, spine, stomach, our hands without us ever knowing. We assume a painful backache or shaky hand is something harmless, random, but it could be more. It might be our bodies reminding us that we've endured and warning us not to let it happen again. Trauma doesn't tell time. It can't tell if we're 8 or 41, if our kids have the chicken pox, or if we have the biggest surgeries of our lives to perform. And when it sneaks up on us, it's easy to think we're right back at square one. But the truth is, when our brain convinces us we're lost, if we try hard enough, our bodies always remind us there's a way back and prepares us for whatever fight lies ahead. Meredith Gray.
Researchers have theorized that nightmares are the brain's way of processing unsettling events of the past. Others believe nightmares are how our subconscious mind prepares us to deal with our real life fears. Either way, they agree that nightmares are most commonly brought on by one thing, stress. Sometimes your worst nightmare comes true, but you find it's really nothing to worry about. Occasionally, you discover that what you most dread is really a blessing and your life is better because you persevered despite your fears. But sometimes your worst nightmare is truly scary and it feels like it's never going to end. That's when support from your friends and family is vital. You want to surround yourself with people who will wake you up from your nightmare and help you live your wildest dreams. Meredith Gray.
Shotgun workup. Yan, what, how do you pronounce that? Win?
Huang? I don't know.
I think it's Win. Kidney failure, ruptured AV fistula.
Clervy Martin, craniostenosis.
Alicia Sten, type 2 AP compression fracture, bilateral tibia fibula fractures, sternal fracture, aortic insufficiency, coronary artery dissection.
Josh, panic attack.
Miranda Bailey, pregnancy.
Len, ruptured superior epigastric artery.
Zola Gray Shepherd, spina bifida.
Carly Davis, carbon monoxide poisoning, diabetes.
Joe Karev, PTSD.
Mary Rose Hawkins Garrett, xeroderma pigmentosum, second degree burns.
Austin Goodrich, epidural hematoma, abdominal injuries. I just want to say that we have come such a long way with shotgun workup. I mean, imagine like our first time we really did that. I mean, there were a ton of hard ones in there, but that xeroderma pigmentosum, like you just crushed
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I wonder though, what I love to think about is like, we think we're saying it right because we've said it a bunch of times, but like we were just consistently saying it wrong.
And there's someone on the podcast screaming at us like, that's not how you say it.
Exactly. I will read this first one because I always fear with the long rounds that I have written a horrible novel and I feel like I can edit myself as I read.
Yeah, great.
If that's fine with you. So, okay, rounds. An article is published full of ideas and thoughts that Meredith Grey had about how the healthcare system is broken. It was taken out of context and the headline was directed at Grey Sloan Memorial. Residents are quitting their jobs and Bailey is extremely upset at Meredith. In an attempt to fix things, Meredith leaves her community service hours even though she was told she would be summoned to court if she did that, and she heads to the hospital to try and fix things with Bailey. Bailey does not want to see her and points her to the door, and on the way out, her and DeLuca get into an argument. DeLuca accuses her of being self-destructive, and Meredith says that he really does not know her. Zola starts to complain about her head hurting, and she ends up going into the hospital with Mayor, only to find out that her shunt needs to be revised. Meredith ends up skipping her court time to stay with Zola, and in the waiting room, her, Amelia, and Maggie talk about their life and love problems. Meredith admits that she likes DeLuca and is having fun with him, but she's unsure if she wants it to be more. She accuses him of not fighting for surgeries and not understanding what it's like to be a parent. However, she says that he is really good with the kids. After Zola's surgery is successful, Meredith's lawyer meets her outside the room and tells her that she has to make up for her missed hours in jail. While in jail, she meets another mother who is in there because she was trying her best to get by and had unfortunate circumstances happen to her. When Meredith gets out at the end of the day in time for Halloween, she posts this woman's bail so she can get home to her kids.
Great job. While on paternity leave, Owen goes to Pack North and gets a tour of the hospital by Alex. While on the tour, a patient is bleeding out and he witnesses firsthand how bad his trauma department is and the lack of knowledge in their residents. Alex offers him a job there to build the program from the ground up. When Tom tells Owen that he is removing his restraining order, Owen declares to Tom and Teddy that he has decided to take the job at Pack North.
Bailey is having a really rough day when she hears about Meredith's article that was published. She's having hot flashes, her heart is racing, and she thinks she is having another heart attack. She has Maggie run a full panel on her, and after crying to Ben that she is going through menopause, she finds out that while she is indeed perimenopausal, she is also pregnant. She works through some of her feelings of fear and excitement while in the hyperbaric chamber with Joe, and when she finally tells Ben, the two of them are overjoyed.
Richard goes out to breakfast with his friend Gemma, and after talking about their jobs and their love life, she sits next to him, tries to hold his hand. He tells her that he has a wife, and she refuses to take no for an answer. She kisses Richard and says that she knows his history, and although he's married, when he's going through hard times, he either goes to the vodka bottle or to women. She brings up Adele, Ellis, and Catherine and says that he cannot deny the feelings they have for each other. Richard is extremely upset and says that she needs to find a meeting and that they have never been more than friends.
When Joe's therapist comes into the hospital from a suspected suicide, we get a glimpse of Joe's first time in inpatient therapy. Her therapist, Carly, uses EMDR. It's EMDR, right?
Yes, that's right.
EDM.
No, yeah, that's electronic dance music.
Is still lights, you know, similar to help pinpoint the trauma that has been causing so much of Joe's pain. While in the hyperbaric chamber with Carly, Joe starts to have a panic attack and uses the tools that Carly taught her to ground herself. When Carly ends up waking up, they find out that it was not a suicide after all, but her CO2 alarm was not replaced in her house and it must have happened from her space heater. Carly tells Joe that she is proud of her and that she's making huge strides.
While laying on top of him, Link tells Amelia that he isn't the kind of guy that does love. He is good at sex and dating, but love scares him. But he thinks that he's falling in love with her. Later, he brings Amelia on his cancerversary lunch date with his divorced parents who can't stand each other. Except for this lunch, he finds out that they are going to get remarried to each other. This takes the wind out of his sails, as he was hoping that this...
I'm such a writer. Sorry. Okay, sorry.
As he was hoping that the news about the baby would make the lunch about him instead of them. Later that night, Amelia brings him a cake. I think it was actually a plate of candy.
I couldn't remember when I was writing this.
That's fine. And tries her best to give him the cancerversary lunch he didn't have earlier.
It's Halloween in Seattle and spooky things are happening left and right. Alex finds out that his hospital is built on a mass grave site while investors are there to provide money for a research facility. Joe is at his hospital all day dressed as a corpse bride and they end up going to the courthouse to get legally married. Schmidt misses Halloween with Nico and instead organizes and plans a pediatric Halloween party and parade where he helps a little boy who wants to dress up as a sunflower. Teddy worries that since she can't construct and sew Halloween costumes, she won't be a good mom. And Tom has a hard time getting through the day because his son died just a short amount of time before Halloween. Zola is also haunted by the ghosts of her past, and she is upset because DeLuca touched her butterfly wings. When DeLuca finally hunts down the reason why Zola is upset, it's because her dad was the last person to fix the wings, and she is worried that everyone is going to forget him. The end.
Okay. Great job on the rounds. What's your first note?
Just the title of Mayer's article that they wrote, which is Hospital Hell at Grace Sloan Memorial Fired Surgeon Speaks Out.
I have that too. But my first one is Mayer is going to go in late so she can fuck Andrew. It's just so...
It's true. She did. Also, this is the next episode, I believe. But like, what is it with these episodes that start with like Meredith dream sequences?
Oh my God, I know. I have a note about that. There's like been a lot recently. Yeah. Okay, I just like, let's just quickly talk about Meredith. I just feel like let's just quickly talk about all these storylines because I feel like they're all bullshit. There's like a couple things in them that I really like. But okay, I forgot that Meredith goes to jail. Mm-hmm. But I think she deserves it. Like,
yes.
Like her, I get that like Zola, she needed to be with her daughter, but like, she didn't need to skip out on her community service and like go to the hospital and talk to Bailey and try and make things better. Like that's where the problem lies. Had she not done that, like she could have taken time off with her daughter for a medical emergency. And she just acts like she's demanding like these people to listen to her. And like, I'm sorry, but that's not how community service works. And because you're privileged and a doctor, like you get to do whatever the fuck you want. I think she deserves to go to jail. Cause if anyone else did it, they would be in jail.
Yeah. It's confusing because she, and maybe she has sort of like a reckoning when she's in jail and talks to that woman, you know, but like she has this weird opinion of like, I'm not going to sit on my mountain of privilege and not do anything. But like, she's also like assuming her privilege to get out of these things. Like, it's just really twisted. I actually thought that what DeLuca said to her about her being self-destructive was like the only good thing I liked about this so far, because that is like a Meredith character flaw, I think. Like that she has always been that way. And so I liked that he called that out on her, and especially then that her being like, you don't know me. And I'm like, actually, I think he does. Like that is something that you've always done. And so, yeah, I hated her like speech about like, if you don't think I'm going to use my privilege to fix all of this, whatever. I was like, I liked what DeLuca said. He's like, fix it in the system. Like how you can't. And I do think there is something to that. And so that was like a little annoying for me. And also, I don't know if like, yeah, when she met that other mother, who by the way is, the actress's name is Isadora Gorster. She's in Shameless. I love her in Shameless. But, I feel like she has this reckoning of like, oh, like I'm lucky that I'm able to get out and afford my bail and like all of these things. I don't know if it changes her at all, but it's just, I don't know. She does deserve to go to jail though. I'm glad she had a few hours there. And like, lucky, she had a great roommate.
Well, I think she was there a few days, not just a few.
Oh, okay. Good.
Hours. I think. I don't know.
They should have done an Orange is the New Black crossover.
Oh, that would have been good. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's complicated. And I think, I mean, I do think that they are definitely trying to, let's see. They're doing the Grey's Anatomy thing where they're trying to get us to think in our, like, with the statement of like, fix it within the system. Like the system's right. fucking broken. And like, yes, yes and yes. And like, you know, yeah, like tear the system down, but also like you committed insurance fraud. Like you have right. to be held accountable. And I, that's the thing that bothers me about Meredith is like, I don't think she feels like she needs to be accountable because she doesn't right. agree with the system, which right. it's not right. But like, you broke the fucking law, and anyone else who, and you've broken the law many times and gotten away with it again, because you're a white doctor. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just like the whole, like, I don't know, just the, her not looking at the big picture, and like, everyone is like, you might lose your children. Like, right. I get that this is upsetting to you, but like, I don't know. She's kind of got like a hero complex.
Totally. Yeah. And it just, and it's hard to watch. It just like, I don't know. When like, I felt like it was more interesting to watch when it was like Adele and Richard or something. And maybe that's because, I don't know why. Maybe it's because we know Adele and Richard, so it feels more emotional. Like we feel emotionally connected.
What do you mean? You mean like when she, the trial?
Yeah. 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 Cause like okay, she's yeah, done yeah. shit like this before.
Yeah. But it's like we met. Yeah. I agree. It's like it feels a little bit more disconnected. I also think like, are we supposed to be like, wow, Meredith is so inspiring? Which like in some ways, like, yes, like she's giving voice to this. But again, I think she could use her position as a doctor and make better changes while she's in good terms with the medical board, you know?
Well, yeah. And the other thing is like, are we supposed to look at her and be like, she's so great? Because she's demanding that her family members take care of her children, that her boyfriend take care of her children. Like when she did, like, yeah. I was thinking back to the Adele and Richard thing, like she was not a single parent at that point.
Right.
And I don't know, something about it rubs me the wrong way. I think it's great that like her family, her sisters are there for her. And like, we have to like build a community of people to support us. But like, I feel like she's doing, Meredith is always doing this. She's always asking her sisters to take care of her children. And
yeah,
if I were them, I would be like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I also kind of appreciated like, you know, Bailey's setting boundaries sort of just like Meredith assuming that just by going in and asking for an apology, she'd get one. And like, I appreciate that Bailey's a little bit like, this is bigger than that. Like, I need a second. Like, I'm not just going to immediately forgive you.
Yeah.
I do understand though, like the being taken out of context, like, and clickbait, like that yes. shit sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. But okay. So my question to you is, do you think the writers are trying to get us to be on Meredith's side, or do you think they're trying to get us to be like, you know, wow, Meredith is really out there right now?
I would say both. Cause if it's good writing, it's kind of like, you should be like, not everyone is good and bad. It's like not black and white.
Right.
I think there's gray.
Yeah.
So I think, I think,
oh
there's
my
gray.
God.
I think, but no, I think it's both. I really do. So I guess like that's what they're accomplishing, what I think they're trying to do. But I don't know. I'm just over it. I'm ready to get to the one episode though, where like people read all their things. Cause I do like that episode, but that's it.
Well, I mean, hopefully we like it because we got that's the true. Joe, like counseling scenes, and I didn't really care for them this time.
Yeah, it wasn't as impactful as the first time that I saw it, I think. I will say I liked the part of, well, we'll get there in a second, actually. I don't want to jump too far over. But yeah, with Meredith, I don't know. I'm glad that she like was able to go to her kids' Halloween or whatever, but I'm not as attached to this situation as I was. I'm like kind of just waiting for it to finish out.
Yeah. It was nice that she posted bail.
It was also nice that they reminded us about Zola's spina bifida, because I like when they continue something that like they started, you know, back in the day. Also, I got like weirdly emotional thinking about that. Like, I forgot that, like, you know, essentially her dad did her surgery.
Right.
Like, before, and like that. And then, I don't know. There was something where I was like, oh no, now Tom has to revise it, but it's no longer going to be the original. I don't know anything about medicine or what that even means. But I thought it was cute how Tom came in and she, like, you know, was just like, I'm amazing. I did it. but yeah, so, and poor Helm, when she tried to hug Meredith.
I know. What did you think about Zola and DeLuca?
I liked the callback to the wings because I do remember that happening. And I don't know. I think it was, I didn't like feel intensely either way, but I do think it's important with grief, that chapter of like, I feel like people are forgetting this person.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want that to happen. And I think sometimes we might forget that Zola like was old enough to remember her dad.
I really liked the part where DeLuca brought up the story about Isaac, especially because DeLuca didn't know Derek. But I love that this story has like made its way through the hospital, that people who weren't even there know what happened. I find it interesting that Zola doesn't already know about that because of the big tumor, like, painting.
Is that the one that was on the wall? I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm kind of surprised she doesn't know that story, but whatever. I thought it was, I don't know. I just thought it was nice that like, oh, DeLuca has this story about Zola's dad and like, you know, and it's bringing that to him. So
it is wild also that they never crossed over in an episode, like that he came after.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. What did you think about seeing Christina text Meredith?
Oh, I liked that. I love the, like, it felt true to thing, like, move to Switzerland before Bailey murders you.
Yeah.
I also liked the callback to Christina when Meredith is talking about DeLuca and she says, like, Christina and I would have made fun of him because he, like, opted to try to be with me, his girlfriend, instead of take a surgery.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a little bit like, that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, like, but I thought that was a fun little callback. I like when they bring her up, I guess.
I really miss Christina.
Like, oh, she was the reason the show was so good.
I know. And she just brought out like the banter between her and Meredith and like, I think really brought out like the best acting in Ellen Pompeo. Like, you know.
Agreed. Oh, Ellen had to fucking keep up.
Yeah. And I just really, really miss her. Oh, I'll even say it. I miss, you know, Owen and Christina yelling at each other. Like I would take that over not having Christina.
I agree. That felt real. And then it's like Owen just kept yelling at people. So it felt less genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Also, fucking Owen, let's talk about him really quick. I thought you were going to stay home with the kids. Now you took a new job.
Yeah. What's that about?
Also, Teddy didn't seem mad about it. I felt like I would have been like, are you fucking kidding me? You told me you'd stay home.
So are they just going to get a nanny? Maybe it's been long enough that like...
That's true. Time could have passed.
You know, that Teddy would like be going back to work anyway or something. You know what I mean? Maybe Teddy's need dual income. So great. Whatever.
But I did forget that like him, Alex, and Richard are all at the other hospital.
I remember that it was Richard and Alex. I totally forgot that Owen goes to the other hospital. So I don't remember how people get their jobs back. I think Catherine buys the hospital, doesn't she?
I think she does too. What a power move.
Oh my God. Catherine, what a fucking asshole. I'm sorry. That is just like, because she does it in spite of...
But she fixes it.
No, she does it in spite of Richard. She does it to be like a power move over Richard. She doesn't like do it to like help the hospital.
Imagine having so much money that you could just buy a hospital.
Oh, like that's just insane. I mean, good for her. But also that is not like, go to couples counseling. What are you two doing?
Oh, I know. Dude, okay, let's talk about them really quick.
Yeah.
Okay, Gemma is aggressive.
Well, I love how Richard is like, that is not sober behavior. You know, like even though she's not drinking, like I don't think she's acting sober, if that makes sense.
Yes, like this is a new vice.
Yes.
Like she's like, she's not making smart choices. I was, at first I couldn't remember how this went and I was glad to see Richard like stand his ground, although not well enough, I guess. But like, I think we're supposed to wonder, like, he should have been told Catherine.
Yes.
Right then and there. And he didn't, which is complicated, I think, because like, I mean, obviously, honest, things like that always come out. You're literally never going to get away with anything. Even though like he technically didn't do it. Honestly, always with your spouse. Like, it's just, it's going to bite you in the ass sometime. So I get his like fear though of telling her, but the fear of what will happen if he doesn't should be way worse.
Well, I think too, the reason he doesn't tell her is because they're not doing well to begin with. So it's like adding fuel to a fire. You know, it's like, if they were in a really good space, him and Catherine, I could see Richard being like, this happened, you know?
But also, like, I think his past, like he's afraid of, I mean, Gemma already was assuming because of his past, his history, that he would do the same.
Right.
And I feel like if he brings this up to Catherine, she could use his past as like ammo against him as well.
Yeah.
I felt sad for him when he says something like, he says, just because you know my history doesn't mean you can use it against me to make yourself less lonely.
Yeah. I also feel bad. Like, I feel bad for Gemma. Like, she's clearly not well. Like, you know, but it sucks for Richard. Do we think that Catherine saw Gemma had texted him?
I don't know. She definitely sees, he gets caught in somehow, something, you know, like,
yeah.
I think when she comes to the hospital, I feel like she visits the hospital and there's like something like that is happening. But I felt like, not sober behavior. The like sending of hearts. I was like, stop sending hearts.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Gemma that said, but I was just like, no.
Yeah. And poor Richard just slept all day. He's just so tired.
He needs to retire.
He's so tired, Abby.
Also, like, it is hard. Like, yeah, obviously he did cheat on Adele with Ellis. That one is no doubt. But the using it against him about like when your wife was in, you know, care, that's when you and Catherine got together. I feel like that is a very unique situation that wasn't done out of malice, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, and then he like stopped seeing Catherine for a bit to be with Adele, you know? So,
right.
I don't know, Gemma, like, get out of here. And like, Richard clearly, like, Gemma, do you want to be the other woman? No, it's not fun. So, like,
right.
Go find someone who is available.
Exactly. Good. Period.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, Bailey?
Yeah,
this is just devastating to me because we know what happened.
It's so devastating. I thought the scene where she tells Ben was very sweet. Very, very sweet. How excited he is. It's like telling all the nurses, like, we're having a baby, you know, like that.
I know.
I mean, I guess I don't have anything to say except for like, that was really sweet. And it's really fucking sad how it all turns out.
Yeah, especially too, because like you almost want a story of like where a woman who is, you know, this age can get pregnant. And so it's like just double devastating, I think, that it doesn't work out. It's also devastating that we don't get to see all of this because it's going to be on Station 19, a lot of their storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Like they have like a baby shower that's on Station, you know, there's like a lot that is on the crossover. Also, though, I will say I loved when Joe and her are in the hyperbaric chamber and she's trying to think of something to distract her and she's like, I'm pregnant.
Yes, I know. It's like P-R-E-G-G-O.
Prego.
And then I love that. Joe's like, okay, that works. Which is like,
yes.
Yeah, I think that would absolutely pull you out of your own anxiety if someone...
And then... That like Bailey starts getting terrified about that. Like, what am I going to do? I don't remember how to do this. And then she starts reciting like what you do at bedtime. I thought that was really sweet. Like, you do know, you do remember, like, you'll figure it out.
Well, I think she was implementing the tools that Joe was trying to about like grounding herself. And Yeah.
I just like that she was using that as her thing instead of surgery.
Yes.
Like, you know, like the thing she knows by heart.
Yes.
I also liked when Maggie was like, please tell me this isn't a secret. Because Maggie, this is now like the third or fourth woman that she's found out this about. Okay. Can we talk about Joe?
Yeah.
Since we brought up the hyperbaric chamber. Yeah. Okay. So tell me your thoughts about like, you thought you were going to really love this and then it didn't do as much for you.
Well, I don't know that I thought I was going to really love it, but I know that you really loved it. So I was like, oh, I'll really love it.
I'll tell you why I loved it, because I love Rachel Bay Jones.
Okay.
Who is the therapist. She's on Broadway and she played Evan Hansen's mom. So I saw her on Broadway. So I was just excited to see her on the screen.
Yeah. But I think like, I mean, you really loved like the throwing the things at the wall. I don't know that that is...
No, I don't like that.
You've always brought that up in the podcast that like...
I think I was just referencing that part. I just really like her. That's the only thing. I would never throw things against the wall. It would make me embarrassed. I don't know why. Maybe I should. Maybe it would help with my rage.
No, I don't know that that is actually like a healthy therapeutic technique. I was like watching that and I'm like, I don't think like... This is like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but like, I don't know of a therapist that would like have you throw stuff at a wall, because that's like weirdly displacing your anger in a weird way. Like it's not learning how to process your anger. So I don't know. I could be very wrong. I literally like went on the internet and I was like, I tried to like look this up and somehow I got to an article of, is it normal to punch holes in the wall? And I was like, I should not be here. This is not like for me.
I will say I like the idea about the, like you have to feel your anger or else like it's going to do whatever, like to take a quick little wormhole. I just watched a video about Enneagram ones, which is what I am. And like our biggest thing is not feeling anger until in like shoving it down. And then it comes out as resent and like it's shame. And so I guess there's that, but I guess you can feel your anger without chucking things against a wall, but maybe that was just like her trying to create a visual for that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, yeah, I'm not, anger is a very important emotion and you should be able to feel it. But it's like the same thing as if you were like to teach your child, like you're angry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So go upstairs and punch a pillow. Like that's not helpful. Yeah. And to me, and maybe it was just trying to get her to feel the anger. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But then she takes it home and she does it at home. And so I took
it too literally.
Yeah, I felt weird about it, but I could also be wrong. And maybe someone has experienced that in their own therapy session. I'm not saying anything. It just made me feel kind of weird. But I do think that we thought that Owen did EMDR because Joe does it. I think we were confusing the two.
I think so too. I wish they'd explained that a little bit more. Like, I mean, I know about it, but like, I felt like it could have been a cool moment because you really only see the like one little moment.
Yeah.
I will say I loved... the conclusion of that, like when your mother pulled away from you at the diner, your body reacted in the same way that when you were a baby, your mother left you. I thought that was really fucking, I mean, I can, like Joe immediately sobs when she says that. And I think that that is a real thing that happens when someone says something that hits really true to you. Like if you've ever been in talk therapy and that happens, it's like, oh fuck. Like you just like, someone speaking something that resonates is really, and so I thought that was a really beautiful, just like what was happening. And the thing where she talked about like, and you were surrounded by love. Like, I think that, I don't know. That to me is why I liked that was the conclusion, you know, like aha moment.
No, I think you're right. I mean, and just, you know, explaining what trauma does to the body,
I've never read that book. It is literally sitting 3 feet away from me on my desk. I'm just like, ugh, I don't want to, but
it's
I do
tough.
Want to, but it's
I mean,
just there.
I haven't read the whole thing. I've been reading it for months, but yeah, I mean, it's good. It's like, has some really like, holy shit moments, but also it's heavy. So.
Yeah. I prefer to read fiction.
Yeah. Harry Potter reread.
I'm all done. So I'm very sad.
Do you ever like just start back again?
No, I usually wait a little because it's better when you like, it isn't as fresh, but like I finished the reread. I'm in the middle of, I'm almost done with Binge Mode, which is like a recap, you know, podcast that I've already listened to before. And then I did watch all the movies. So that's like, I will close the circle then. And then I will give it some time.
Wait, just curious, like, and you probably don't know the exact number, but like how many times have you reread Harry Potter?
I wish I'd done is that I'd kept a tally in the book, you know, like a little check mark. But I have no idea. I know for sure, like by the time the last book came out, I had read the first one at least 7 or 8 times. Cause whenever a new one would come out, I'd reread the previous ones, like to remind myself. So, and that was fucking 20 years ago. So not that many, close. So at least 20.
Wow.
Not the last one. I probably only read the last one like 10, but yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Really? So anyways,
how did you feel about Joe and Alex remarrying after?
I guess it was like they needed to do it. Although they really should have waited a few months because he's going to leave her shortly and they wouldn't have to divorce. But I hated the pregnancy thing, but I liked how like Alex was able to then laugh about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like, I don't know, what an odd thing to do. It was all just very quirky and weird. And I don't know how I feel about it.
I thought it was kind of funny because she'd been trying to scare him all day and she couldn't. Yeah. And like nothing, like, ooh, I'm a corpse bride. And then her saying that is what scared the shit out of him. And like, I like that. She's like, I gotcha, finally. I thought that was funny.
That's true. I liked that he was wearing those teeth.
Yeah, that was funny. I forgot that they got married again in a courthouse.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you... The Halloween episode, so we didn't cover this one, I think because we hadn't gotten here yet, in our like Halloween bonus episode. Kind of forgot that this existed. I loved that little kid who wanted to be a sunflower.
Me too.
And I loved that Schmidt was like, okay. Like, you know, he was super annoyed with this kid. It's like giving him all these like boy options.
Right.
And then the little kid is like, I want to be a sunflower. And
that little kid was fucking cute. His little voice.
Oh. I know.
And then the fact that Levi made himself one too, I was obsessed with.
I know. And that he made it for him was just super cute.
I will say I liked that episode, like the Levi thing, until Nico came into the photo. He was so annoying.
I know.
He is not a character. He is not a personality. They do not have chemistry.
Yeah.
It's like he's a trope.
I totally agree. Like there was like, no, I think it's the chemistry thing. Yeah. There's just nothing there between the two of them. Yeah.
I loved the, when Owen said to Teddy, you dressed our babies up as dead babies. I thought that was really funny. And now Bailey's just like, you should buy a costume next time.
Yeah, like that is not good. I loved that, you know, Teddy is obviously, she's going through a new mom and she is like already kind of has felt like, I'm not good at the mom thing. I want to go back to work. And so then she feels like Owen is trying to tell her to be a certain type of mom. And I love that Owen is like, you think I brought costumes here to shame you? Like, no, I know you're not and going to make our children costumes. That's why I brought them to see like if any of them fit. And I love in that moment, like Owen's not a dick. He's literally just like trying to help Teddy out. And Teddy takes it a completely different direction and then dresses their children as dead babies.
I also liked in that moment this is sort of a Tom thing, but I'm going to say it anyways. When, you know, Owen tells him that he's going to Pack North and Tom says like, well, your job is back here for you when you change your mind. And he looks at Teddy. He's like, same goes to you. Like when you change your mind, like he's still not like mad at her. He's just like waiting for her to change her mind.
Which,
Yeah, I know. I know. Another great moment that I liked was that patient. So the patient who had like the burns on her arms, when she says she wants Alex and Jackson then comes in and pretends to be Alex. That was a good moment.
Yeah, dude. Like, what'd you
do? Tell me.
Yeah, that was funny. What did we think about Link and Amelia and the Cancerversary?
I mean, I was like, what is the point of this episode for them? Like, I don't need to know that his parents are getting...
I thought it was good. Hold on. Let me... Was that the third episode?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was good that, you know, he gets all fucking pissed off and storms out and blah, 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 blah. And I think it was really good that Amelia says, this day was supposed to be about you and your parents are making it about them again. That's why you're angry. And I think what it really did was, like, Amelia was able to say, like, I'm sorry my family is this way. And she's like, I know dysfunction. Like, her family is dysfunctional as well. And I think in similar ways, like, she felt like she wasn't seen in her family. So I think it just, like, brought the two of them together, made them closer, was the point of it. Like, Amelia really understanding Link and understanding that things have not been about him in the past and it's always about his parents. And then, you know, this day when they're supposed to say, like, at the Cancerversary and they're pregnant, like, they're getting back together, which that happens. People get divorced and get back together. It's just wild, you know?
Yeah, I know someone who's done that and then divorced again.
Yeah, that's just really something, isn't it?
Just leave the law out of it.
Yeah, just, like, get back together.
Right.
Or so even, like, get married, but, like, don't sign a legal document. Like, have a ceremony if you want, like, a commitment ceremony, but, like, yeah.
I will say that I bet the phrase, you know, like, parent trapping them. Oh, like, a lot of children of divorce have tried to do that to their parents. I sure have.
You did?
It did not work. Oh, yeah. Like, or you'd think, like, if there was ever a time when, like, they were having, like, lunch together with me, you know, I was like, oh, my God.
This is
you know, whatever. And you're just like, no, it's not. They're adults. So.
Yeah.
But then I like how he's like, he tried to do that his whole life and then they finally are and he's pissed about it.
Yeah.
I also, again, like, he's still, to me, like, charming in this season. And I feel like Amelia and him are really cute together. So I can see why I was so taken in.
Yeah. Any other storylines?
I don't think so.
I think that's it.
No.
Okay, notes and trivia.
Yeah, I'll start. This episode's title originated from the song It's Raining Men, originally sung by the Weather Girls.
Wow, it only scored 5.75 million viewers.
Going downhill fast.
Yeah.
This marks Barrett Dose's third appearance as Victoria Hughes on Grey's Anatomy, making her tied with Jaina Lee Ortiz for Station 19 cast member with most appearances on Grey's Anatomy.
This episode title originated from the song Breathe Again, originally sung by Toni Braxton. Oh God, Toni Braxton. Forgot about her.
It scored 6.10 million viewers.
This episode is structured like One Day Like This, focusing on four major storylines and central characters.
I wonder what episode that is.
Yeah.
Carly mentions being 200 pages into Margaret Atwood's latest book. Oh, yeah, I liked this. She was talking about The Testament, the sequel to the same author's book, The Handmaid's Tale, which gained widespread popularity with the release of the eponymous? No idea what that word means. Hulu TV series based on it. Love that show.
Did you finish? Oh, yeah, we talked about that. This episode's title originated from the song Whistling Past the Graveyard, originally sung by Tom Waits.
It scored 5.66 million viewers.
That doesn't matter. Camilla Luddington goes back to having dark brown hair as of this episode. She started out on the show with the same color back in season 9 and it had gone, she had light brown hair for a while and now she has dark brown hair again. So
couldn't do that last part of that sentence. I feel like, warning, she goes blonde.
Yeah. I don't care for that.
Why do they do, like, Lexi does that too. This episode is set on Halloween, as said by Joan Meredith. Duh. Catherine Fox Award.
we both just... Okay,
I'm going to be wild out here for a second. Could it be Owen?
It could be Owen. Yeah.
Because he helps Alex at Pac North, takes that job. He does not shame Teddy with Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
And
no one else deserves it this episode.
Other than Schmidt, maybe, for helping that little boy.
Yeah. Or like Bailey for being pregnant and Ben for being... But like...
Nah.
Let's give it to Owen. Why not?
Will we ever give it to Owen again?
Probably not. We never give it to Owen. So...
Owen Hunt, baby. Okay. I feel bad. I'm rating this a 6. Didn't like it.
A 5.5. I like was so bored. And in between these episodes, I had to like do something else. I was like, I can't watch these.
Keep going.
Yeah.
We were watching them at the same time last night.
Yes, we were.
I saw you in the Google Doc.
Yep. On the internet. Okay. So... You know, hopefully you guys like this episode of the podcast more than you liked these episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
Please stick around after Time of Death if you're listening on the Patreon app or in the RSS feed. If you are a patron, I can never fucking get it right. Anyways, we're going to talk about Tom and everything that he did in these episodes. So if you'd like to hear that, please... become a patron. And otherwise, thank you so much for supporting us. And we will see you next week. Time of Death is 10:35.
Beep.